on. So if they were going to enforce the covenants, they have to start with big cedar, and that's obviously not going to happen. And anyway, there's a statute, 2-year statute of limitation on enforcing restrictive covenants, so we're long past that. Mike Schmitz, who currently owns the property, doesn't need a permit to operate it, but the new buyer actually would be grandfathered in. The property itself is what gets grandfathered in; it's not the owner. But I thought, look, let's not try to run over people or hassle them. Let's go through the process, and if we get it, great. We can make everybody happy and get a new permit for the new buyer or potential buyer. And if we don't get it, well, Mike can keep running the nightly rental as his own. But anyway, it's not illegal because he's grandfathered. He predates the 2009 comments by Chuck Tunnell.
The only comment I would have is I don't know the answer, but that's your opinion that it would be grandfathered in for a new owner. I'm not necessarily would be in agreement with that, but I'm not legal counsel. Okay. Just to make that point. So
yeah, it isn't something I wanted to fight over because that's why we came. And so we said let's try to make everybody happy.
Yeah. Well,
now our regulation is they aren't transferable. Just because he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Obligated to be, to have a rezoned or redone as a nightly rental, that doesn't mean he can't do it now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't automatically do that. That's why we have these hearings.
So, do we have any specific questions for the applicant or the representative? Hearing none, is there any questions amongst the individual members to discuss? As Scott's made aware several times before, really within the special use permits, and Presley, do you have that? Where the appendix of the, there's really 6 items we on the commission are to look at to make a decision for or against a special use permit. And generally, there's A, B, C, D, and F. And there was a copy given to everyone separate. It's in the book, but to look at in reference to that. So, and generally all 6 need to be looked at, but F is general compatibility with adjacent properties, other properties in the district, and general safety, health, comfort, general welfare of the community and with the standard for development in these regulations. So being that there's not a, this isn't, the new owner has not acquired the property, has he identified a management company that would handle like the trash issue of making sure trash is picked up upon departure and not set out for 3 or 4 days? Or
I don't know, but I don't know if he's picked one yet, but I made sure he clearly understood that as part of the conditions of the use permit, he would have to designate a local on-site property manager, of whom I can refer to him several quite capable people who do this as their full-time living.
Okay. Thank you. Any additional discussion, or is someone ready to?
I got a question on the new owner. Is this still going to be an LLC? Are we going to know?
Sorry.
The new owner, can anybody answer that?
The idea is to put it in an, I believe the potential buyer wants to put it in an LLC. The member of that, or the principal member, is a guy named Mike Popovich. So the question is, if Mr. Popovich were to in one day sell his membership interest, would there be any record of it? And the answer is no. So when people buy and sell their membership interest in an LLC, it doesn't get recorded with the Secretary of State or with anyone local.
Just the initial filing? Is that with
the initial filing with the Secretary of State records the registered agent and the organizer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't contain a copy of the operating agreement, which is the members.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
So are you,
does that answer does your that, question?
Well, does that allow the property to be transferred without, because this
Basically, we would not know who the managing member owners of the LLC would be, which was one of the questions mm-hmm. brought up. But it is for, I mean, there's a lot of real estate that's owned in LLCs to, for, you know, for to shield any issues that might arise legally. I mean, that's a pretty normal practice of ownership. But the point being brought up, and he's mentioned as well, is you wouldn't know the individual that was owned, but I think the county wouldn't get involved with that. It'd be more, if there were complaints brought against it, it would be, you know, forwarded to wherever the LLC address is to try to address that.
Can you clarify some names for me?
Yes.
This application has the applicant Scott Newman.
I think that's another. I think that's a different application. It's 115 Edge Hill is the applicant here. So I came to this meeting representing both them and Mike Schmitz. Mike Schmitz is the current owner of 115 Edge Hill.
So you're here representing the current owner.
And also the potential buyer. Both of them have an interest in getting the permit.
The applicant says Scott and Mindy Tillery. Is that?
What it says.
Wimbledon Drive for 115 Edge Hill Drive.
Scott and Mindy Tillery were actually the construction of the whole applicant's names. The 115 Edge Hill LLC is the one requesting the permit, which would only be given after they presented a warranty deed in their name to the planning office. And then we could finish going through the decision of record.
Okay, so this application...
If it doesn't sell and it has the approval, then Michael Schmitz will not be receiving this permit.
That's from
01. Edge Hill LLC is the one requesting the permit.
So do we not have the current application on file in our paperwork, Scott?
Yeah, I have staff report right here.
Mine says Michael Schmidt.
Well, that's the cover page.
Michael Schmidt's the owner. The owner has to sign the application if it hasn't sold.
I don't think it's in our packet, but Presley has a copy.
We have it.
Yeah.
We have it where 115 Edge Hill is actually the representative requesting the permit.
So I guess my struggle is this application process for the existing owner, or are we being asked to consider a new certificate for the new owners? So that would be two different things, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
the past owner does not require a permit. He's a legal non-conforming as he used before. So, a new owner would require a permit. So, the permit request is by 115, Edge Hill 115, and that's where the permit would go once the property closed. If the property never closed, there would never be a permit.
Any other questions, comments? Anybody up to making a motion? Further discussion to get to a motion?
I would make a motion that the permit be denied because it's in a residential subdivision, it's not compatible with what's around it.
So it's not compatible in that residential neighborhood?
Yes.
With the adjacent properties?
Yes.
That's listed? Got a motion on the floor to deny the application based on general compatibility with adjacent properties. Is there?
So is he referencing Appendix E?
Are you?
3?
Yes.
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 I'll second the motion.
Okay, we got a second to the motion.
Mr. Chairman, before we vote, could we get a reason that this is not compatible for appeals and continuance so that we have it in the decision of record?
Do you want to read
per how the person who made the motion wanted it? Compatible is such a broad term that if we could narrow down what makes this not compatible, we'll need that in the decision of reserve record.
Okay, that would be under 2.3, Appendix E, Item F. The general compatibility with adjacent properties, other properties in the district, and the general safety, health, comfort, and general welfare of the community, and with the standards for development in these regulations.
And what is the general compatibility of this use that's not compatible? See what I mean? That compatible is a huge array of umpteen things, but we need to know what part of this use.
Single family residential.
It's what's around it.
Yes.
And then the nightly rental uses, what part of that compatibility?
Nightly rental is not compatible.
So just the nightly rental use.
Based on what was read as far as general, all these items, right? The general welfare of the community and general safety with the standards of development in these regulations.
So just so I'm clear that we have the decision of record like it's presented by the motion, that I'll read it back how I understand. The nightly rental use of this property is not compatible. Is that correct?
Yes.
With the adjoining neighborhood.
To the adjacent property.
Yeah, I think the request here is that all of F would be included in that.
Yes.
Well, again, but what part of that nightly rental is not safe? What part of the health? We've got to get down a little bit deeper in the weeds, guys. We've got to, compatibility is such a broad term that we are, in these decision of records, we have to narrow down.
I think we've been fairly specific that it's all of F, right? That the general welfare of the community having a nightly rental.
The nightly rental use is what you're specifically saying for this property.
Yes.
It is not compatible.
Yes.
And that's why I read it back, because that's what I put in the decision of record, that the nightly rental use is what's not compatible within the residential community that it's set.
Yes.
Based on the general compatibility of the adjacent properties.
Correct.
Okay. So now that
the driveway could make it not compatible, the buffer, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to narrow down what part of that use, which you're saying is the nightly rental use, which is fine, and that's what I just have to put into the decision of record to fine line it a little tighter.
Okay.
Well, okay. You've got the Homeowners Association of Oakmont.
Well, the thing that bothers me, and I don't know whether it's specific enough or not, but the thing that bothers me is it's going to an LLC company, and we don't know. We have always issued permits like this to specific individuals, and this is just like giving a blank check, and I've always been against that, and that part bothers me.
So, Scott, are we good on the motion, or do we need to amend it?
I think so. We don't have anything in our code book or regulations on LLCs versus individuals, so that one's kind of a law.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
We have zero ability to enforce covenants and restrictions. The only avenue for enforcement is circuit court. So hopefully you're not including that part of your motion, because we are not circuit court.
No, it's...
But
it's not just a comment.
It was just a comment, Scott.
Yeah.
Correct. And I just wanted to make sure, because